Hello again, people. John here to steal your attention for the next few minutes, and we're talking about writing in games. Now this gets back to those things we all know. In this case, we all know that most writing in games could charitably be called lackluster and uncharitably called god-awful. This begs the question of how we know this, and the answer to that is we played more than a few of them and not while under the influence of powerful narcotics. It's certainly not all, but it's far too many. Let's take a closer look at the problem and where games often go wrong. It's a given that a lot of Japanese RPGs have an odd fixation on the same cliches that so often turn anime into brain cancer, and Western RPGs tend to get shortchanged in development or sacrifice character depth for gameplay versatility. Yes, I know about Minsk and Morty and the entire cast of Vampire Bloodlines, but those are outliers at best, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it's also a given that not all of either group suck, and even the less inspired of the bunch don't do everything wrong. Let's tackle Japan first, because I'm trendy like that. Now, all but the really trite or mediocre RPGs, stuff like Beyond the Beyond or Orphan or something, have a handful of characters that aren't just imbecilic knockoffs of common fantasy or sci-fi tropes. Hell, some games live and die by having a charming cast. The entirety of the Tales series, for instance. Archie carried Fantasia all by herself. Like a tiger, you know. And I plowed through Symphonia all for Sheena. Or Jenny Hale, if you prefer. I think I could listen to her recite the first 30 digits of Pi without getting bored. Games like Suikoden and Radiata Stories throw a bajillion characters at you, and most are just space fillers to put a larger number on the back of the box, but some are genuinely funny and pretty well written. This is somewhat tangential to storytelling, but don't underestimate the value of charm. A likable cast goes a long way towards making an otherwise typical story better. Still, these characters are often balanced against the same goddamn story we've seen 100 times in every conceivable entertainment medium, and we have no particular reason to care about why the world's in peril this time. Villains are too often shallow, two-dimensional caricatures, and not the well-written kind with funny one-liners or an actually interesting backstory, but instead the kind ripped almost wholesale from some idiotic Monster of the Week shonen series. Heroes, by contrast, are typically callow youths who revel in their naive innocence, shouting something like, "Believe your justice!" Thank you, Metal Wolf Chaos, as they ram the legendary sword into the colossal demon. When they're not that, they're scarred adolescents pretending to be adults with the personality of dry toast. They eventually learn what it means to really care about something, but only after turning down their unbelievably hot and very available teacher. Squall, I will never fucking forgive you for that, you stupid, stupid man-child. All you had to do was say yes. Hell, you probably could have just nodded your head and let Quistus take the lead, and you just didn't feel like it? I'm sorry, you brought all this slash fanfiction upon yourself. Hope you're in a musical theater, pal. Sorry, I dislike Final Fantasy VIII for a lot of reasons, but that and Disc 3 stand out the most to me. But I digress. Anyway, more often than not, that seems to be where Japanese storytelling goes wrong. And now for outside of Japan, where we sort of have the reverse problem. Western and European RPGs benefit from versatile, open-ended gameplay, and the better ones will have a narrative to match. You've got your Fallouts, your Baldur's Gate series, Planescape, the Elder Scrolls games, Mass Effect, the list goes on, and that's just what's off the top of my head. Throw in a couple of the Ultima games if you like, at least a couple of them were pretty good. And you gotta fit Deus Ex and Troika's games in there somewhere. Now, a healthy chunk of that list has stories I would consider quality, either by a plot that isn't a complete rehash of existing tropes, or by the strength of the game's writing or presentation. Sometimes it's in the actual telling of the story, sometimes it's in setting up the atmosphere, and sometimes it's just the strength of the gameplay. Obviously, several of these games hit at least two of these points. Now, where these games fall apart is often their ambition, and when it's not that, it's bringing up a cast of characters we can reliably care about. And when it's not that, it's technical issues. Infinity Engine games such as Baldur's Gate and Planescape are blessed with extremely memorable characters and phenomenal writing, but the gameplay is often, and not unjustly, seen as a barrier to these things. And then there's the pacing of the story, which tends to throw a lot of text at the player before they can really digest it. Mass Effect had a similar problem. Elder Scrolls games are the polar opposite, focusing on delivering big, vibrant worlds, but often at the expense of decent storytelling. There are stories there, but it often takes effort to follow them, and they aren't that interesting in comparison to the worlds in which they take place. Arcanum and the Fallout games have a better balance of story versus gameplay, but are known for game-stopping bugs and balance issues, particularly Arcanum. Poor development is sadly a hallmark of Troika's games, and I say that as a man with a non-sexual crush on Troika. May they rest in peace. Now, let's bring this back together. We've established that nowhere on any side of the pond is there a monopoly on good storytelling. And before you argue the aforementioned Planescape, I'll point out that accessibility is a big part of good storytelling. I agree it's got some of the best writing in gaming history, but it's not necessarily the best told story, and the difference should be obvious. Not every JRPG is a pile of anime cliches, and not every Western RPG plays like it was coded together at the last possible minute, but far too many do. So, we've established the problem. Where do we go from here? Is it just as simple as hiring more writers, hiring better writers, breaking from cultural holdovers, rounding up a dev team that's actually read a book every now and then? Should characters be written that are self-aware, characters that have read that book or seen that movie before? Can we never again do sweeping epics about the upstart hero fighting against the evil empire? Can we never again have a scarred anti-hero with a tragic past? Or is it not, has it never been, the content that was the problem, but the way it was presented? Is there a way to write almost anything and make it seem good? I'm not asking these questions because I have the answers. You know I don't, or at least you should. I'm asking these questions because these questions need to be asked, not by me, not by you, not by my fellow staffers, people in quote-unquote games journalism, no. These questions need to be asked by game developers themselves. These thoughts need to be on the minds of every game writer out there, because there are very few blanket yes or no, this will work, this can't ever work rules when it comes to writing. It's a case-by-case thing. It is possible for a cliché-ridden JRPG story to not kill brain cells faster than freebasing, and it is possible to make a Western RPG with gameplay that isn't a complex, rule-heavy obstacle course. We've done that. It's called Deus Ex. It was fantastic. You did get that, right? But anyway, all this is just talk until somebody important deigns to ask these questions, and that depends heavily on how much emphasis developers will put on games with good writing, as opposed to pushing technological envelopes or sticking with tried-and-true formulas. But that is a topic for another time. I close with a quote. I loved Zidane, because all the way through Final Fantasy IX, I was rooting for him to hit that. Dagger could stab me any day, though I didn't actually call her Dagger, I called her Tifa. I can't let go of the past. Thanks for listening, folks. This is John, signing off.